Hello and welcome to the call. I'd like to give you a little information about how the call will work and then we'll get started. I'd appreciate it if everyone would kindly hit the 6 button if you haven't already done so on your phone so we can mute all background noises. What I plan to do is interview Sherry and at the end take some questions. However, due to the nature of this topic, we may ask for questions throughout the teleseminar. I'm just going to see how it works. So anyway, at that time, you would be asked to push the 6 button so we could hear your question. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dotsie Bragel, and I'm founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be found at nabbw.com, and boomerwomenspeak.com, which are the number one sites on major search engines for baby boomer women. I'm passionate about educating and empowering my generation of women who were born between 1946 and 1964. Our sites both are actually proudly sponsored by Me Again Products, which are tried and true products for women at midlife, and they are located at meagainonline.com. We're also sponsored by Dolans.com, so if you're interested in excellent financial information that will encourage you to live a more financially responsible midlife, we recommend that you visit their site, and that's Dolans.com. And then our third sponsor is Elations, which is the daily drink supplement that offers relief from joint aches and pains. It's an alternative to taking the big pills, and you can find them at Elations.com. Okay, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else I need to go through. Not really. So why don't we just get started, and I'll introduce our guest. Today we have Sherry Matheson, and she worked as an award-winning costume designer for film and TV for 28 years. Now, I'm going to mention here that the keyword is costume designer, because that is different than working with the women and men on what they wear day in and day out, and Sherry will tell you a little bit about that. So anyway, she costumed many celebrities through the years, including Susan Sarandon, Brooke Shields, Rita Wilson, Billy Joel's band, Sugar Ray Leonard, Lee Iacocca, Lena Horne, and many others. She's collaborated with top directors like Ridley Scott. She began her private style consulting 14 years ago, and today she enjoys a diverse clientele that includes men and women around the country. She also travels to do seminars and book signings and even TV appearances, including The Today Show and The View, as the author of Forever Cool, which is her book, and it's published by Clarkson Potter, and it was published in 2007, and they are a division of Random House. Her book provides amazing makeovers for real men and women over 50, and her sequel on Style for Boomer Moms and Their Daughters is due out in spring of 2009. She received her education in New York City, where she attended the Cooper Union, Parsons School of Design, and NYU. Today, she and her husband divide their time between Connecticut, New York City, and Arizona. And you can visit her at Sherry Matheson, and it's SHERRIEMATHIESON.com. And I've got to tell you that Sherry is a member of the association, so she sent us her book for review, and actually the review has not been done yet because we do them in the order in which they are received, so everyone has to wait their turn. But the title is Forever Cool, and the subtitle is How to Achieve Ageless, Youthful, and Modern Personal Style for Women and Men. And I have to tell you that it is a very fun book to look at because almost every page has photographs of her models, and they're all your pretty much typical boomer men and women, and she has a picture of them dressed as never cool, and then another picture of them dressed opposite that photo as forever cool. And it's just a real fun book to look through. In fact, we're getting ready to go to the beach with two other boomer families, and the three of us boomer couples are going to look through this book and just kind of laugh and joke and have a good time, because we've all been to black tie festivities together before. We've spent weeks at the beach, and we go out to dinner and movies and everything. So it's going to be a real hoot, because I know we're going to see some of ourselves in the never cool pictures, but hopefully also in some of the forever cool pictures. So anyway, I recommend her book. And Cherry, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Well, good. I'm happy to have you here. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. If you don't mind speaking up just a little bit, because we have all of these teleseminars transcribed, and we just want to make sure that our transcriptionist can hear you.
Yes.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about dressing people for success and the difference between costuming them?
Yes. There are obviously different names you can call a style consultant. Some of them are personal shoppers, per se, that many of us have seen going around with their clients within stores. And they just help people within that store and are limited to that store. So the customer or client really needs to be aware of that, because that's how that person earns their living. Then in terms of what I did, there was costume design and styling. Costume design is what a person does for theater or film or TV very often, where, just as it implies, a costume is involved, or certainly something either from period to modern day that would help an actor with a role. And that is what I did for 28 years, in addition to some styling work and high fashion print work. So those are all under the same banner, so to speak, but a costume designer is a very specialized field, which you have to be taking a test for and go through a lot in order to be able to do it legally. And then I transitioned into what I do now, which is what I term style consulting, which is really advice that I give on personal style for men and for women of all ages, of all backgrounds, and I enjoy it tremendously. And it's a wonderful offshoot of costume design, because in essence, I think we all are the major players in our own life's roles, so to speak.
Okay, very good. All right, what we're going to do is I'm going to kind of run some thoughts by you that you imply and share in your book, and then I'd just like you to kind of take it a little further for us, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you mentioned that you should not be caught in the safety trap of buying clothes that cater to baby boomers. And your comment is that a lot of the fashions at these stores actually make you look older. And so first, and I'm totally comfortable doing this if you are, if you wouldn't mind telling us the stores that you believe cater to baby boomers, because I know locally we have Chico's and we have Coldwater Creek and we have J. Jill. And those are ones that, in my mind, cater to boomers. What other stores would you be talking about?
Well, I would add one like Territory Ahead. And I think that you just mentioned really major ones. Now, there are subtext ones like Talbot's, which actually does a better job than the ones that you mentioned just
right
now. And I think Sigrid Olsen, who just went out of business, also did a better job. But still, in my opinion, even Sigrid's store or Talbot's are still ones that I would lead a much older client to, much, much older. And yet I see baby boomers in those stores, and I feel that's a mistake.
Okay, well, we're kind of in a difficult spot, and actually I've written about this. I wrote an article called Sell Us Something, Please, because I spent some time at the mall one day, and I was there to buy gifts for others and also a couple new things for myself, because I was going to a conference and I was also going to a 50th birthday party. I left them all with gifts for everybody and nothing for myself.
Aww.
And basically, you know, the point of my article was boomer women have money to spend. So sell us something, for gosh sakes. We don't want to look like our daughters. We don't want things, you know, cut below our bellies and, you know, up to our boobs. And, you know, but we want to look fashionable. And I know that while some people love Coldwater Creek and the other stores we mentioned, there are other people who still don't particularly like the elastic waists or, you know, the longer lengths or whatever it is. So what, you know, what do we do? Where are boomers finding clothes?
Well, and this has become part of my problem because a lot of boomers are my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very concerned about this, and they want to look their best. And, of course, I'm a boomer. Actually, I'm on the late end of the boomerdom because
mm-hmm.
I'm 62. So I've tried quite a few different things on myself, and I've come to certain conclusions. And, of course, it all depends on your taste, of course, whether you're going to agree or not. But I believe that to segregate a segment of the population is a very, very difficult thing to do to begin with.
Right.
Because the minute you do that, you're putting a certain guise or a certain look on it, which tends to be artificial. I'll give you an example, the jean jacket. Let's say if you find a jean jacket just in Levi's, it's a generic type, you know, maybe cut to the latest cut, but it's generic. If you go, say, to the current Liz Claiborne or to the current, even DKNY, it's going to have certain things about it that become ladylike. And the minute you become ladylike, you look older. So that's something that is a very visual kind of distinction that a lot of people haven't made yet and haven't ascertained for themselves. I really believe that your core education has to come from classic clothes. And classic clothes really work no matter what age you are. In my new book, I'm going to show an 86-year-old woman wearing a Levi jacket from J. Crew and looking absolutely amazing in it, just like her granddaughter, who's about 29 years old. Just to give an example of one type of clothing that I consider classic, say a white shirt is another thing that is a classic. What a baby boomer or any of us should be looking for are, say, that white shirt in any line, I don't care in what store, that is very simple in the best possible fabric you can find it, in the most current fit that works on you. And those are classic items that I just mentioned, and there are many, like a black skirt that goes to the knee, say, a kitten heel pump to go with that, a little cashmere sweater that might go around the shoulder. And there's a slew of accessories that you can find in all stores that will make your outfits look younger and hipper as you go along, because that isn't so age distinctive. You know, you can, and I'll show this in my very next book, how you can very easily trade with your daughter all these accessory items. So what the boomers need to learn is to identify these classic pieces, and that's what Forever Cool is really about.
Okay, something that you mentioned while you were talking was something that works on you. And I think that's so important. And if you don't mind, I'm going to interject here for a second and see if Janet is on the call. Janet, are you still there? If so, can you unmute yourself?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Sherry, I hope you don't mind, but I think that Janet might be able to add a little bit to this piece about something that works on you. Janet has a business, and it's called Fashion Fit Formula. And what they do is they measure your body. I met Janet at a conference that I attended, and she's also done a teleseminar for us that I, if you haven't listened to, Sherry, I hope you will, and anyone else on the call. But what she does and her business does is they measure your body, and then they give you a formula of what pieces work on you, the length you should have, the length your skirt should be, the length your capri pants should be, the length your sleeve should be, the length of your necklace, whether it should be more of a choker or it should be longer. And so do you want to just tell us a teeny little bit about that and how the length of things really make a difference in what works for you?
Everybody's bone structure is different. We've done over 10,000 women, and we have not found two women to have the same bone measurement. That is your structure of your body, and how much weight you gain or lose does not make any difference. Your knee does not change the distance it is from the floor. Mathematically, according to your bone structure, you have four hemlines that will work for you, a mid-calf, and right below the knee, called the street length, a mini, and a micro mini for those that can still wear it. You have four perfect jacket lengths that are mathematically correct for you, a crop jacket, which is near the waist, a hip jacket, a standard jacket like a blazer, and a three-quarter length jacket. You have two sleeve lengths, a three-quarter length that is perfect for you, and a short sleeve that is perfect for you. And if you miss on the three-quarter, it just starts to make you look old. It's just mathematically correct. And that there's a perfect neckline point, and I say that's ideal for you. As far as the necklace goes, if you have jewelry and things that don't fit that point, wear them anyway because they're special. But you will know what your absolute mathematical best is. And your waist, very few people's waist falls where it mathematically should. So we show you how to adjust the appearance of your waist. And then what happens when you put all these things together, which is really not that much, just your skirt or your capri length or your short length and your jacket or top. If you're wearing your top on the outside, it would be worn to one of the jacket lengths. What happens is that you're in symmetry to your bone structure and you're in symmetry to your body, and you visually lose 10 to 15 pounds.
Okay. Very good. Now, I'm going to cut you off because this is really Sherry's call, but I think it's important to mention this because what looks good on us and what works for us really has a lot to do with the length of things. So I just wanted you to be able to share that and tell us your web address.
www.fashionfitformula.com.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to Sherry, and then if you don't mind muting yourself, I'd appreciate it. Now, Sherry, I'm sure you have a lot to say about lengths, and I'd just like to know if you can add anything to that for the women on the call.
Well, I think that what we're really talking about is proportion, and there is what we just talked about, you know, and that's mathematical, but there is so much more that goes into this, which is purely visual, and that a trained eye can assess pretty quickly if something fits or not. I do beg to differ to some extent that when a person gets wider, you know, with more mass on them, their clothes will spread out and the distances will be different and the fit will be different if they gain weight or if they lose weight with the same outfit. So that is under the headline of fit. Mm-hmm. And a person can see if things are pulling. They can see if something overtakes them. They can visually assess whether they even feel comfortable sometimes within a very large jacket or shoulders that are too big, etc. Fit is an important thing, but it actually is a pretty obvious thing without even any calculations. If a person experiments enough with different fits and has the interest to do that, I think a lot of people are in a hurry and they don't re-examine themselves and they don't reassess their wardrobes and they don't try things on enough.
Yeah.
And as a result, they don't get that educated eye.
Okay, one thing that I think is really important, and something that you mention in your book too, is going through and getting rid of things, because I think a lot of us are pack rats. I don't care what generation we belong to. Some of us learned it from our parents who lived through the Depression, mm-hmm. and we just hate to get rid of certain items. But tell us how much is to be gained by just getting rid of something that we haven't worn in X amount of time or something like that?
Well, it gives you a certain piece of presence of mind, so to speak. When you walk into your closet, you can see actually what is there that you can actually use. Because if you eliminate the things that you are not wearing for, say, over a year, segregate them, maybe to another closet, and think about it, but don't keep it in the mainstream of the closet that you are using on a daily basis. Eventually, you'll be able to part with things, maybe slowly but surely, but eventually you will. I even keep what my husband calls a little museum of things, things that remind me of the past or whatever. My first dress I have, I have a wedding dress that I never used. I have things like that that are more sentimental. I have some beautiful items that I spent a lot of money and I was very upset that they went out of style. But I recognized that they did, and I segregated them to another closet.
Okay. How about, and this is something I have seen a lot of boomer women doing. I live in a town in Towson, Maryland, pretty, you know, typical middle-class town, and every Friday night we have this feet on the street gathering where they block off one of the streets in town and they have a band and everybody appears. And I have seen so many women that are boomers that whose clothes are too revealing, in my opinion, or they're tight. And I think that there are some women who think that, you know, if you've got it, flaunt it. Is that still true at our age?
I think that they are dressing, those women are dressing for attention that they really long for, that they had maybe naturally when they were younger, and they're really having a hard time substituting other elements of life into their personality. Many women really hang on the invisibility factor, where if men don't look at them, they feel less attractive, less desirable as human beings, let alone as women, and because they haven't substituted something else that needs to happen as you get older. And I think that, as I said, these women definitely are dressing for men, because obviously you as a woman just told me your reaction, which is similar to mine. I not only become a little uncomfortable, I almost feel a little like, what's wrong with that woman that she doesn't realize that she doesn't look right, that maybe she still has great legs, but her skin gives her away, or maybe she has great hair, but something else gives her away. It could be anything, because we all have our good points and we all have our not so good points. So moderation is so important, and learning what moderation is in terms of what you should reveal and not is critical as you age, because you could either fall on the frumpy side where you cover yourself too much, or you can reveal too much, as you just said.
Okay, because I know one of your rules is not to be overly revealing and not to wear the tight clothes. And I have to say, I see a lot of boomers doing it. Okay, let's move on to something else. Less is more. So we're saying don't overdo makeup, hairstyles, or jewelry. Kind of go for the naturalness and femininity that is uncontrived. And this actually kind of reminds me of the 60s. Of, you know, just how our generation was to kind of go natural. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, in the way I mean it is not specifically for the 60s because there were other things, you know, wearing
sure.
a part in the, midding, in the middle and, and maybe just with eyeliners, that kind of look. But what I'm talking about is a certain naturalness that really lends itself to a youthful appearance. Because when you think of it, when you were younger, you were able to be more natural. And naturalness is a very subliminal kind of effect that you have on others. And it lends itself to a more feminine look. In other words, a woman that is too coiffed or too made up doesn't look accessible. She doesn't look vulnerable. She doesn't look youthful as a result. She looks like you have to, you know, sort of skirt around her in a way, like she's unable to do manual labor, like she's not active, like she's not energetic. And all those things to me really make a woman look so much older. And by the way, you know, we were talking about dating, actually, and as far as going out on a date with all this jewelry and makeup, men don't really like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And ask any man, and the last thing he's going to look at is your jewelry. Jewelry is really a conversation for women. And for men, men really love a woman that they feel that they can touch, in a good way.
Right, right.
You know, that when her hair looks like something that will blow in the wind. I mean, in terms of endearment, there was a very funny, I don't know if you saw the movie, when Shirley MacLaine went out with Jack Nicholson in that car, and her hair was blowing, and she was holding on for dear life because her hairdo was going awry. Do you remember that?
I did see that movie twice, and I loved that movie.
I mean,
yes.
This is a lesson in that.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about. And then a lot of women, as they get older, begin to look or try to look too neat, too coiffed. Something should be a little askew. Something should be a little off. It's actually very nice. And in Europe, you see women looking much more natural. Not all, I should qualify that. Mediterranean women, specifically Italian women, can be learned from because they have a much more natural air and they wear less makeup, just a well-chosen thing here and there, the eyes or the lips, and do the jewelry really well. This is all something that has to be studied. And I'll get to that later.
Okay. Okay, we're about a half hour into the call. Let me see if anyone on the call has a question for you before we move on to some other things, because we're going to continue to talk about women a little bit. We're also going to touch on men a little bit, too. So does anybody have a question or a comment to Sherry at this point? If so, you have to push the 6 button so we can hear you. Okay, then I think we're going to keep moving here. Also with the not overdoing makeup and hairstyles and jewelry, and I have to agree, there are some women who look like their hair is cement. And so basically what you're saying is, I guess the energy, and you also mentioned being active, just I guess what you're saying is it's better for that impression to come across then, you know, you're just too stiff and too done up to have a good time or something.
Good time in terms of life,
mm-hmm.
life and being an active, intelligent woman. And that's the aura that I want women to convey as they get older,
mm-hmm.
rather than trying too hard on any level, whether it was the over-revealing clothes or whether it's doing too much makeup or hair or any of those things.
Right.
It shows that a woman is insecure rather than secure.
You know, we interviewed Ann Creamer, who's the author of Going Gray. Have you read that book?
Yeah, I'm familiar with
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I wish we I knew you then. I could have had you both on at the same time because she went through a lot of experimentation on going gray and looking more natural and authentic, and it was a really good teleseminar. It's also archived in the members only page if anyone wants to listen to that. But you also mentioned nails, short and natural. I'm wearing pink on my nails. Tell me what you mean by that.
Okay. I believe that when your nails are short and natural, it also helps with that image of an active woman that can do things but has a certain refinement to it. There's something about that air of vulnerability that I think is very, very attractive to human beings, mm-hmm. that they're not impervious. And not to say that occasionally you can't wear a colored lacquer of some sort. Mm-hmm. And I have, seen some wonderful, even high fashion looks that included a very dark blue and even black and whatnot. There's a time and place. But as a general philosophy, I tell my clients, for many reasons, the one I just mentioned with the air of vulnerability and the look of an active woman, but also in terms of your clothes looking well always, no matter what you pick that day, will work with your outfit instead of clashing, which I frequently see, or chip nails, which I frequently see. And I think that if you keep your nails just beautifully groomed, look at the close-ups sometimes of Martha Stewart's hands because she's on TV all the time. And this is a certain aesthetic, and don't think that they didn't think about it. They did think about it, that when her hands are at a close-up, you see just really well-groomed, clear polish, always beautifully manicured hands.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about fabric a little bit and how important that is and what are some good fabrics.
Well, there's a range of fabrics, and no longer can I say that polyester is bad because Prada is, uses polyester quite a bit in a lot of their things, and I'm a big fan of that line. But when I say that invest in quality fabrics is that as you age and your skin tone and your skin vibrancy has been diminished, you need fortification by your clothes. And as time goes on, those clothes that, say, a teenage woman or a man can wear no longer will do it for you. Maybe not even because of the style, but because of the quality of the fabric. So what it really means is, and going back to a classic white shirt, instead of picking a white shirt that is inexpensive and looks it, go for the best you can afford.
Okay, and I can understand that, because some of the cotton shirts are a lot thinner than they used to be. And it definitely looks better, I think, on a woman to have a cotton shirt that it has a little more fabric to it.
Yes, some body, maybe a tint of sheen, a slight, it doesn't mean a real sheen, but a certain quality to mm-hmm. it that you can actually feel. And that's why I encourage people to go into better stores sometimes, even if they can't afford them. Because it's an education, like going to a museum and seeing great art. But in stores, you can also, those stores, you can feel the goods and compare them. So when you go into a store the next time that you actually can afford, you'll be much more selective.
Okay. Okay, so fabric, what about color?
Well, color is they used to have this color me beautiful.
Oh, sure.
And all this and color by now and all of that. I'm not a big formula person. Personally, I'm not a formula person. I believe that you can see when a color is really great on you. A trained eye can see that. And a lot of people look better, for sure, in certain colors, not because they're a summer or a spring or all this. This is all merchandising. Has nothing to do. It's a combination of your skin tone, and by the way, skin tone will change daily, especially on women, so that maybe one day, and I know this for my own self, there are days that I can put on black and I can look pretty good, and other days it completely washes me out. So there are days that I know that I have to go for my favorite color, like orange, which will, if I'm not feeling so good, will always look great on me, no matter what my skin tone is. But being a blonde and light-eyed and having a certain complexion, light complexion, I look great in that color, and I see many women who do. I see a lot of women who also look in a lot of shades of green very well, like a citric green. It brings a lot of life into their face. And sometimes it's a redhead or a brunette or even, you know, a dark-haired woman. But I think that it varies from woman to woman very specifically on that day, and it's a combination more of her hair and her skin especially.
Okay. All right, now what about, you talk about staying modern and knowing the latest trends. Can you share any of the latest trends for this fall with us?
Well, one of my favorites is the equestrian look, which is a classic look. You know, it comes in, it goes, you know, a lot of looks you'll find go in and out of our lives. And the reason is a good one, because they actually have some validity to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they come back. Things that had no validity will never come back. You know, like big hoop skirts from Lincoln's day. They just don't work anymore. You know what I'm saying. Those things will never come back. But from the 30s on, there are some very worthwhile things that will resurface. And fur has come back in vogue for a while. You know, people were getting pies slapped at them and egg yolks if they wore furs. And a lot of designers have sworn off of them, but certain designers like Michael Kors has some really beautiful pieces in fur. It's only just a piece around the neck, you know, and luxury fabrics, which is sort of questionable in these days where money is scarce for a lot of people, but a lot of luxe kind of looks are coming back. A lot of the deconstruction is still around, you know, where clothes have no real structure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of the looks from last year will go on. You know, the trend of the Ampere line persists, and it persists because it does something for, well, certainly younger women have embraced it. It lengthens the body. It's the Ampere style from all the way back to Napoleon's era that all women wore at the time, and now so many women embrace. And if you combine the Ampere with a flared leg, you're going to look as long as you possibly ever could.
And now, do you think that, I mean, I think there are a lot of boomer women who have tummies, and how about that that waistline for women with a little bit of a stomach? I mean, do you think that's flattering?
Yeah, actually, it depends how, you know, that style, that Ampere line has come in many, many ways. And what the boomer has to do is pick out the style that is not overly youthful, because some of them are very risque and extremely youthful. And the stores that they're shopping in are a clue. Like, you should not go into Forever 21.
Right.
Even though they say you should, you shouldn't go into Forever 21, because that's where your 16-year-old daughter should be shopping. But there are stores like J. Crew that have done things with that kind of line. And there's also, you know, for the woman who has an expanding waistline, she can do certain tricks to the eye with layering, or go for Eileen Fisher clothes, which have no structure but are really quite modern always, because they are very simple clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And really flatter just about any woman. And they try to embrace the younger sector, but really what they're trying to do is corral in the boomer women, which they should, because their clothes don't make a huge demand on an expanding figure.
Okay, and tell us who that is again.
Eileen Fisher.
Okay, And you can
also, to add to that, if you can stand a little bit more structure, but they do come in larger sizes for sure, is the Lauren line from Ralph Lauren.
Okay.
Excellent, excellent line. And again, I'm not saying everything on their line is wonderful. I always take things case by case. I always examine the line per season. Mm-hmm. And if I like certain things, I'll take my clients to see them if they're appropriate for the client and if I think they will fit the client, not only in figure, but in their personality.
Okay, well, let's talk about the boomer woman who's on a clothing budget and might be able to afford one piece from an expensive line but needs to shop other places for less expensive clothes. Do you have any stores that you recommend for a boomer woman on a budget who wants to be fashionable?
Oh, absolutely. And in the back of my Forever Cool book, mm-hmm. I have those smart shopping where I have little hangers next to the lines that are not overly expensive and the lines that are. And when I dress or when I dress my own clients, the ones that are not wealthy, I always mix, and I do exactly what you say. I try to bring in something every year that has real merit and might be quite expensive for them, for mm-hmm. their budget. But it's a piece that will carry them through the years, and it very often is a piece of accessory or a cashmere sweater, mm-hmm. something like that, or a shoe. Because shoes very often can take you from, yeah, I have shoes from 20 years ago that still work really well in my closet, as well as bags, as well as necklaces, as well as bracelets. So all those things really do a lot. But, and those could be the items that you might want to pick as the expensive item. But when I say, let's say a store like J. Crew is a worthwhile store, I say that to people up to size 14. Within the walls of J. Crew, you can find a bounty of clothes that are not only extremely well styled, they have pretty good quality, and I think that they are classically oriented, so they have longevity. Mm-hmm. And they can be mixed with so much. That is why I'm such a fan of J. Crew. And I'm a fan of sales, which is another way of saying something that is less expensive. Because what you should really be doing also is going, again, into expensive stores that you may not be able to afford, look at an item, tell a sales girl that you're interested in it, and tell her if it goes on sale, please, please, please let me know. And she will.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never even thought to do that.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Oh, what a great idea. Huh.
Because
and
that
they,
way, yeah, excuse me, that way you're ensuring you're also getting quality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what about stores like Target? Do you recommend them for any type of clothing?
Absolutely.
Because there are absolutely
Target, yes.
people who can only afford Target or, you
absolutely.
Know. Right.
Yes. Yitzhak Mizrahi, Isaac Mizrahi, is that's two ways of saying it, his name, is, and actually he was just signed by Liz Claiborne, which I think was a very smart choice because he is a classicist that has a slightly 50s bent to his design. So when he had his couture line, it had a 50s sort of look to it. And he had to close out the line for whatever reason, and he did very well later on as a TV host, as you know, and he also had a movie called Unzipped, and he actually is a very talented guy with very good ideas. And Liz Claiborne was failing as a line, just like Chico's sales are not doing very well, and in the same breath, Sigrid Olsen went out of, you know, it's a troublesome area, needless to say. So they just hired him, and he has been designing for Target for quite a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the things that he did because he makes them very simple, and the simpler the better. not only is it better on the body because it's easier to accessorize and just more flattering, but also it gives longevity to the way you can mix it with other pieces of clothing. So the fact that he has designed, he was a pioneer there, actually, and now they've gotten a few other very good additional designers.
Okay, so you do recommend buying and shopping at different places. What about, like, Marshalls or, what's another one, Ross Dress for Less, that sell better quality clothes at a less expensive price?
Well, you have to have a very good eye.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the cue that I'm giving you is classicism and simplicity, so that I'm urging you to hone your eye.
Mm-hmm.
And not only through, say, the pages of Forever Cool, but by shopping at really upscale stores where you can feel and see the items that I'm talking about. Because once you go into those stores, I can't say in a blanket statement that everything is going to be, in fact, most of it is not going to be really great. So you have to be able to judge and pluck out what is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I say an educated consumer is the best kind of consumer. It was once a slogan for a retail chain. They used to say, an educated consumer is my best customer. And it's so true, actually, you know, when you think about it. But the person, we have to educate ourselves, and that means we have to be interested enough to educate ourselves. And I would like to see greater interest in doing that.
Okay, now we have we really haven't gotten to the men, but I will say that she does include men in her book, and if you're interested in learning some about men, I thought we'd have time, but I don't think we're going to. You have to pick up a copy of this book because it is just a really fun book to look at, and I think that, you know, you'll see yourself. Maybe you didn't, Sherry, but I certainly saw myself on both sides of the page sometimes, and just saw like some of the things that were outdated that, you know, I wore at one time and hopefully aren't in my closet anymore, and just different things like that. So it's a really fun picture book that is also full of lots of good tips and ideas for dressing at midlife and how to, you know, look our age, really, which is something that I think our generation is often fighting because we want to remain youthful. So, you know, how do we dress so that we, you know, we look our age, but we still have a youthful look. And that's why I think a lot of people are having a hard time finding clothes for our generation. I know that The Gap opened a chain or a certain store that was just for boomers, and it ended up going out of business.
Yeah.
I know that Ann Taylor, I read, was going to, and then they changed their mind. They weren't going to do it. But there are different companies out there attempting to, you know, find the right clothes and offer the right clothes
Ann
for
Taylor,
us.
Well, Ann Taylor, I use on boomers all the time. I don't even know why they would need to, you know, I mean, I just select the things that are right for the boomer.
Right, and they have different, because I know a lot of times with buying pants, some are cut too low, some are cut too high, but one thing that Ann Taylor has is, and Ann Taylor Loft has, are the different waistlines, and they have different names for them, and so if you fit in the Marissa, then when the winter line comes out, you still fit in the Marissa. So anyway, let's just talk a little bit about denim. How about jeans? And because I know a lot of people will spend more money on jeans because, you know, they might get a lot of wear out of them, or they might last longer or whatever. I mean, are people still wearing jeans? And if so, what style?
Well, people love jeans. And
mm-hmm.
The younger generations, actually, when we were young, or at least when I was young, they were popular. I mean, this has been going on since the 50s, and they've become even more popular in the sense that now we can mix dressier items with the jeans and make them items that we can go happily out to dinner with. But again, you have to know how to do it. The Levi line has been experimenting quite a bit, and recently there was an article, I think, in the Wall Street Journal about a new line that they swear up and down will fit women perfectly. I read the article, and I couldn't believe the amount of experimentation that they went through, and I thought all they needed to do was to call me. I would have told them what they needed to do, but actually they really did a very, very, very thorough job. But I recommend, again, not only Levi's, but J. Crew, if you're up to a size 14. They also, through their catalog, have for petites or for particularly tall women. And they don't have the exceptionally low rise that many women are so, against, and rightly so, because you sit down and you're half naked. So you don't want that to happen. And I'm not sure even much younger people should be doing that, but they do. So a boomer doing that really looks wrong. But today, I think one of the directives I'd like to give them is to have a little stretch in it is an excellent quality in terms of fit, a slight flare on the bottom. A dark jean is wonderful. I'm wearing a pair of dark jeans on the cover of my book. They almost look black as that picture was taken, but... Oh, actually, you don't really see my jeans on the cover of my book, but I am. And in the full picture exposed it. And I love them, and I have quite a few pairs. I think that whether you're slim or not, they're going to make you look even slimmer. And ideally, the top of your jeans should be right under where your belly button is and sort of meeting the bottom of your hip bone, more or less. So in other words, when you sit, again, it won't reveal your naked skin at all. And those are the qualities that are going to be most flattering. You need several pairs. You need at least one pair for when you wear flats, and you need another pair for when you wear a heel.
Okay. And what about boots for this season?
Well, boots, I think, this season are coming every which way you can possibly imagine them, and of course, you want to be comfortable. A lot of my clients are not comfortable in a pointy toe, even though it's very, elongating. And I believe it's a wonderful look emanating from the 50s. But if you can't wear that, they have some wonderful round-toed, and especially the riding boots I love, because, again, I'm a classically oriented person, and I like to mix the classic with the high fashion. I believe that is the art of the mix. That is forever cool. When you know how to combine that which is vintage, that which is classic, that which is high fashion, and mix it all up, also even in price point, on your body at one time, you know you've gotten the hang of it. And they have boots today that are very, very comfortable also because they have some rubber soles. So if you do a lot of walking, some of them have nice corrugated rubber soles, which make life a lot. I know I do a lot of walking, so I always look for that, especially on the streets of New York.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are running out of time here, but what I'd like to know is if you had one piece of advice for a woman in the middle years when it comes to dressing, what would that be?
Okay. You say when it comes to dressing, but I would like to go back a little to the first step that we all have to do, and that is we need that curiosity and that interest that will open our eyes now. I hope after this conversation, listening to it, a lot of the listeners will go to an airport or to their local supermarket and really observe how people look and see what they're doing wrong, and also see what they're doing right. And that kind of observation around them, looking around them, getting the best magazines, for instance, helps also. If you get Town and Country, if you get Vogue, if you get W, magazines like that that really lift your aesthetic. And I'm not saying you should buy the things that are in there, but they're going to lift your aesthetic and give you a starting point. It's like in drawing, I had to learn, and I was educated in fine arts, I had to learn draftsmanship. This is the first step before I can do the abstract, which is the fashion part. So you can compare that very well to dressing. You have to have a starting point, and a lot of people have skipped that starting point, and that's why they're making so many mistakes.
That you know, just observing is such a good idea. And, you know, I have to say, that's one of the things that I really liked about your book, because it caused me to pay attention to these outfits that your models are wearing and really look at them and to see what it was that they were wearing that either made them look, you know, as I guess as good as they can, and what made them look not as good. A nice way to say it, but so I think that's a really good point to make. So I just again want to share Sherry's web address, which is SHERRIEMATHIESON.com, and you'll be able to get a good feel from her book for her book at her site, and then you can also find it on Amazon.com. And I'll just see very quickly if anybody has a question for Sherry before we end this call. So does anybody have a call for Sherry at this time? And if so, if you would push the 6 button, that would be great. I don't know if there are any questions out there. Sometimes it takes time for people to get up their nerve. Hello?
Yeah, I have a question. I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions, like, about workout attire.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I start in the book from sportswear onto evening dress, just so you know, as a point of reference, you can see some actual pictures of things that I absolutely love. And you hit upon something that's so important, because our lives are becoming so casual. I know I, for one, stay sometimes in my workout outfits for the whole day. Mm-hmm. And I want them to be something that I can start at the gym with and then end up maybe, you know, being seen for lunch with or something, you know, meeting a friend or whatever. I feel that sportswear, and you've just watched the Olympics, is one of the most underdeveloped areas of our lives right now, and can fulfill so much for boomers as well, because they've retired and they want to become more casual. And I love Nike in my sources, and they have a catalog if you live someplace where there is not a Nike store. I don't know if you do. I love Nike, and I mix it with other brands. Like Puma. I love Puma sneakers, for instance. I feel that they're young, and, you know, if you don't need to work out and just walk, you can wear a Puma sneaker. If you need to work out, you wear a Nike sneaker. I love the Adidas, you know, three-stripe pants. And then I'll put a Lacoste top maybe with it, you know, a polo top that you can put up the collar. If you're a boomer, you want to support your neck. You always want to frame your neck. Unless you're working out, then, you know, wear your T-shirt, wear your tank, take it off, slip on the Lacoste when you leave, or wear a T-shirt or a tank with some kind of a great windbreaker jacket that very often Nike supplies. Some of the higher-end lines, like Prada, have some beautiful pieces that are investment pieces that you could have for the rest of your life. But every year, I peruse all of these lines. I look at what they have, and I make sure that not only do I pick out the best pieces for myself and my customers, but that I keep them in mind for future advice, books, whatever, seminars, that I can demonstrate on women what this mix and match ideal would be.
Okay, does that answer your question?
Yeah, great, thank you.
Okay, good question, very good question.
Yeah, it was an excellent question.
Yeah, let's see, one other quick question before we have to end the call, and that is, what about coats for this winter? Because I've seen that there are some different ideas out there, like some really funky fabrics that are colorful and have pattern as a coat. And then I've seen, like, the knit, long knit sweaters are coming back in style, and even some cape-type things. Can you comment on that?
I think that a woman should try to buy something, if it's her only coat, that really works with everything possible in her wardrobe that she needs for when she wears a coat. But you will need probably more than one coat. So it's very, very difficult to say, this is the coat, this is it forever. But I do feel that there should be a classicism to a coat. So if you're looking at something very funky, think twice because, hey, you know, does it go with the rest of your outfits?
Right.
If you can afford it and you love it and it looks great on you and it's appropriate, why not? So it depends on your budget,
sure.
On your figure, and on so many other. Don't just buy anything on the spur of the moment, though. You know, really put some thought into it, because this is something that has to go over things.
And especially, yeah, I was going to say, especially with a coat. Yeah, give it consideration. That's a good point. Okay, and one last question. What magazines do you like to look at that show women at midlife that looking good in their clothes? And that's another thing I want to mention about your book. One of the things that I really liked about it was it's the first time I've ever seen so many people at midlife in print. Do you know what I'm saying? Because the majority of the magazines, of course, other than More Magazine, which I love, are really a lot of the models are geared towards are just the younger kids. So any magazine in particular that you really enjoy?
Well, I mentioned, and I know that a lot of people would say, what is she saying? You know, Town and Country is sort of a upscale kind of magazine where I can't afford most of the things in its pages. But I love to look at the people because they are of all ages, and the looks are spectacular. And I get an educated eye out of it. I was that way since I was a child, and my mother said, why are you looking at Vogue? It has nothing to do with your life, she said to me. And I said, but Mommy, I'm educating myself, you know? And I remember that day. And now I'm 62, and I remember it, and that's why I advise my clients. It's nothing that I didn't do. I was not a wealthy child, and yet I knew instinctively what I had to do in order to learn. And I think the biggest mistake people do is they avoid, Vogue and Bazaar and W because they think, oh, well, this has nothing to do with our lives, and we can't afford those things, so let me just buy Women's Day, you know? And More Magazine, I understand why you like it, but I still don't think it brings you up there. I think, actually, Oprah Magazine does a pretty good job very often. But, again, these are sort of blanket statements. I look at these magazines... like even Real Simple has some wonderful examples of affordable and sometimes older women's clothes, I should say boomers clothes. And I think that these magazines, and I spell it out also in the last pages of my Get Inspired, not only in this book Forever Cool, but in my next book, which is going to be called Steal the Style, the book about mothers and daughters. It will have a very nice section, again, about all the magazines and even books that you might want to reference in order to get this education that I'm talking about.
Okay, very good. So, again, it's observing, looking at what you know, can work for you, and then trying to find that piece within your budget.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good. Okay, well, I think we have definitely come to an end here, Sherry. I want to thank you so much for being on the call, and I hope you all will visit us at or visit Sherry at sherrymatheson.com and also visit me at nabbw.com or boomerwomenspeak.com.
And may I interject? I'm sorry. One thing, my site is going to be renovated, so by the end of September they should check in again because it's going to be a whole new site.
Very good. Okay. All right. And do you have a newsletter?
I will. I'll have quite a few added interactive possibilities with the new site.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Thanks for being on the call, and have a great day.
It was my pleasure. Thanks, Dotsie.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.